Okay, page 1179. Imitating Christ's humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this evening, we acknowledge our weakness and our ignorance and our inability, and we need your Spirit. And so we pray that that Spirit who inspired the word will inspire us this evening and open up our minds and hearts to your truth. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I began my ministry here in Reigate a few years ago, and in those days, when I took weddings, we were still using, very often, the old prayer book service of solemnization of matrimony. And it contained these words, which some ladies found a little bit difficult to stomach. I would ask their name, "Wilt thou have this man to thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou obey him and serve him, love, honour, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto him so long as ye both shall live?" And the lady would say, "I will." But not all would say that, because not all liked those words. It was that wretched word, obey, which they objected to, because it spoke of submitting. And the danger was that the wife would simply become a doormat and the husband have his own way. Now, our subject this evening, as you will know, I expect, is submission as a spiritual discipline. It's not a very PC word today, I think, submission. Neither is discipline, for that matter. And you might well think that the idea of submission as a spiritual necessity is a bit of a joke. Because we tend to think of submission as involuntary servitude or slavery, not being able to be free to do our own thing. Difficult. And yet in the Bible, this is what Paul has to say about wives in Ephesians 5. "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." And then he says it again in Colossians 3:18. "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And if that wasn't enough, Simon Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands." Tricky. Some years ago, I gather, there was a poll, a rather light-hearted one, conducted in a Russian newspaper of 100 households. And in 90 of these households, the wife described herself as the head of the family, and the husband agreed. In 9 families, the husband said he was the boss, and the wife disagreed. The only husband whose wife named him as head of the family was told by the newspaper that he had won an award. When asked to select his prize, he turned to his wife and asked, "What shall I choose, Maria?" Well, let's have a little think together about submission in the New Testament. Let's start off with some definitions. Go straight to the dictionary. So here's one. To submit. Unwillingly allow something to be done to you. Here's another one. Give over or yield to the power or authority of another. And here's another one. Surrender to the control of another. So we've had allow, yield, surrender. Maybe you're getting bad vibes about this. In the New Testament, there are 6 words in the original language which convey the idea of submission or subjection. And if I just pick out one of those words, then these are some of the verses in the New Testament where that word occurs. So let's start off with Romans 13:1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Here's another one from Titus chapter 3. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. And here's 1 Peter chapter 2. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority or institution. And then in Ephesians 5, we've had that one about wives submitting to husbands, and in Colossians 3, the second one about wives submitting themselves to their husbands. And of course, it's voluntary. There's no sense of enforcement here. At least there shouldn't be. Then here we go with 1 Peter again, 1 Peter chapter 5. You who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Now, I don't know whether elders there means just old folk like me, or whether it means elders in the sense of the ministers in the church. But anyway, if it does just mean old people, then here we go with the ministers. Hebrews chapter 13, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. And then finally from James chapter 4, submit yourselves to God. Well, that's just one of the words about submission. And I want to select just one particular verse, which I haven't actually read yet, which is from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, we could have looked at all the other ones, but I think if we start looking at authority, and particularly political authority, we're going to get into deep water. If we go down the line of wives and husbands, we'll get into even deeper water. And submit yourselves to God is pretty obvious, so I thought the best thing to do was to stick to 5:21 from Ephesians, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the context, as you may know, is the bit about being filled with the Spirit. So let me read from verse 18 of Ephesians 5. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, all the verbs there are actually participles. That's a bit technical. But what he's basically saying is, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, making music, always giving thanks, and submitting to one another. So a sign of being filled with the Spirit is we submit to one another. Submissiveness. Mutual submission in the Christian community. And maybe we immediately come up with a bit of a question, which is this. Isn't mutual submission a bit illogical? If I submit to you and you submit to me, how does that work? Well, we might like to think about that. During the war, which I can't remember, you'd be amazed to hear, there used to be a radio program called ITMA, which stood for ITMA, It's That Man Again. And in it, there used to be two removal men, I gather, called Claude and Cecil. And Cecil would say, after you, Claude. And Claude would say, after you, Cecil. Now, it's interesting that actually during the war, that little sort of catchphrase was used by RAF pilots as they queued up to attack the Germans. After you. Now, if they're both going after one another, we've got a problem, as you will have worked out. Maybe it would be less puzzling if we thought of submission in terms of humility and meekness. We know that Jesus said, blessed are the meek. So it's got Jesus tick against it, as it were. And we're told by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. And we know that Jesus was lowly, and we have seen his humility, of course, in the upper room at the end of his life when he's on his knees washing the disciples' feet. So humility, perhaps. Let's think about submission as humility. I'm glad some of you are going off to university. I got converted at university. I didn't know anything about the Christian faith before I got there. And I met with the Lord and was in the Christian Union at the university where I was studying or trying to study. And I have to say, everything was rosy. It was wonderful to be a Christian in those days, absolutely wonderful. We had a lovely group and we used to meet regularly for coffee and so on, and we would have Bible studies and prayer meetings, and it was terrific. And then I discovered the church. And I discovered that in church life, it's not always completely rosy. There can be gossip and criticism and disunity. And the church in Philippi, which Paul had founded, probably, was no exception. So we're told in chapter 2 of Philippians, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. So he's calling for unity. He's pleading for unity. It's interesting, actually, the way that the Message version puts this, which is rather good, if I can find it. Yes, here we go. Philippians chapter 2 from the Message. If you've got anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. And the way that the unity comes about, says Paul, is through humility. And he spells out the practicalities at verse 3. So he starts off by saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In other words, avoid the me first principle. And then he says, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. In other words, think of others as better, or pay attention to others and pay less attention to yourself. We're all self-obsessed, aren't we? Well, I am anyway. You may not be. Jolly good, I'd like to learn how not to be. And then he says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In other words, put other people's interests before your own. There's an old hymn that actually dates from the 14th century, which begins, "Come down, O love divine." And one verse in it goes like this. "Let holy charity," and that is the old word, of course, meaning love, "let holy charity mine outward vesture be." Vesture is clothing. So he's saying, the hymn is saying, let love, holy love, Christian love, be my outward garment, as it were. And lowliness or humility become mine inner clothing. That's the underwear. So what people see is your love, but what they don't necessarily see, but you are working on inside yourself, is lowliness, humility. True lowliness of heart, which takes the humbler part, and o'er its own shortcomings weeps with loathing. O'er its own shortcomings, not other people's, weeps with loathing. Well, there's nothing new in all this. You've heard all this before, I expect. Our problem is application. So when Jesus had washed the disciples' feet in the upper room, he said, "Now that you know these things about humility and service, you will be blessed if you do them." And that's the difficulty that we have, actually getting down to being humble and submissive. Let's move on in Philippians chapter 2, and we've got to verse 5. "In your relationships with one another," says Paul, "have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." We need a renewed mind. We were reminded at the beginning of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 about having a renewed mind. And it's the first step to Christian conduct, the way that we think. I think it's very difficult to be humble and submissive. And I would say to myself something like this when I'm trying to be humble. First of all, I must admit my weakness. And first of all, of course, I've got to be aware of it. The weakness, the sense of always being self-obsessed and proud and conceited. And it's very humbling to confess one's weakness to another person. And then, because Paul suggests this, we need, surely, I need, to spend time looking at Jesus Christ, looking at how he came into the world, the Christmas story, and looking at his life and the way that he interacted with other people, looking at his passion and what they did to him in Jerusalem on Maundy Thursday, and above all, of course, looking at the cross and seeing that broken figure hanging there, and realizing that that isn't just a tramp, that's the Son of God. And then praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, the natural consequence is going to be submissiveness and humility, slowly conforming to the pattern of Jesus Christ's own life. Are you with me? Are you asleep? No, you're with me, I hope. I want to think one more thing about submission with you. I go in from time to time to local schools to take assemblies. And these days, when you go into an assembly, you're given a subject. And it is the value of the month. And the value of the month, 9 times out of 10, is respect. Well, it's a good word, and it's an appropriate word in the light of Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, where Paul says, "Be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves." Now, there is another translation of that verse which says, "Be devoted to one another in love, outdo one another in showing honour." And I think that must be one of the few places in the New Testament where we are encouraged to be competitive. We are to outdo one another in showing respect and honour towards others, recognising other people's strengths and praising their attainments and showing appreciation of them and serving them. And just to add that one about serving, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says, "Serve one another humbly in love." And it's the idea of slaving on behalf of one another. Now, I said at the beginning that this whole idea of submissiveness and submission can create bad vibes. And we may well have objections, especially those who are wondering about marriage, the ladies among us. Well, apparently some psychological research has been done on the benefits of this particular discipline and others. And it's been found that people who have a tendency to be willing to forgive and people who are, generally speaking, thankful rather than complaining and grumbling, and people who are humble or seek to be humble and put others first rather than themselves, actually have a greater sense of well-being than average. So there is something for it, but that really won't do, because the biggest motive that any believer in Jesus Christ has, the biggest motive towards humility and submission, is, of course, his own example, the example of Jesus Christ, the founder of our faith. Now, we're looking at spiritual disciplines, and a discipline implies something that we practice. And in the Message version of the New Testament, there's a lovely little verse which goes like this: "Practice playing second fiddle." Well, why don't we practice it? Why don't we look around? Now, you don't actually have to turn your heads, because you know who's near you. But just think about people in your vicinity or people that you happen to know at home or neighbours or whatever it might be, fellow students, whoever it might be. And let's ask ourselves questions like this: whom could I, as soon as possible, talk to who I haven't talked to, or better still, listen to? Is there someone to whom I could say something appreciative? Not just empty flattery, but really appreciating and thanking them for something that they are or that they have done. Is there anyone I could say thank you to? Is there anyone I could serve in a practical way? These are all ways in which we might practice the discipline of submission and humility and putting other people's interests before our own. It's very interesting, you know, that all the verbs in our passage and in the other passages that I've read to you, they're all plural. It's what we are all going to do. It's not individualism, it's our corporate life together that we're thinking of. Let's pray together. Father, we have a problem. We don't find it easy to be submissive. In many ways, we'd rather not be submissive. We'd rather not yield to others and surrender to others and put others before ourselves. we love ourselves so much. We pray that your Spirit, with whom we long to be filled, may do his work in us, making us more like Jesus, humble, lowly, meek, ready to serve rather than be served. Lord, we seek that power of the Spirit in our lives. We seek to have our characters changed through the renewal of our minds. Give us that mindset of Jesus, we pray. The mindset that took him and brought him into the world and took him to the cross. And may we be those who live Christ-centered, cross-centered lives. For his glory alone. Amen.